Welcome to the 10:45 breakout meeting. Workaholics Anonymous. My name is Sandy, and I'm a workaholic and your present secretary of this group.
Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Sandy.
Will all who wish to please join me in a moment of silence to do it with as you wish, then followed by a serenity prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Workaholics Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other, that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from workaholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop working compulsively. There are no dues or fees for WA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. WA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stop working compulsively and to carry the message of recovery to workaholics who still suffer. Now is the time we introduce ourselves by our first names only. Please let us know if you are here for the first time or visiting from outside this area so that we may welcome you. Since we spent a long time on that earlier today, how about only the people who weren't here? I think Scott wasn't here. We told about our names, history of our name, why our parents gave us that name or whatever, and we talked about what city we were from, how many years we had been in, and that kind of thing, but most of us were here earlier, so we don't have to repeat all of that, except for the people who were not here early this morning. So I'm Sandy, workaholic.
Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Sandy.
Alice, workaholic.
Hi, Alice.
I'm Jim, I'm a workaholic.
Hi, Jim.
I'm Sandy, I'm a workaholic.
Hi, Sandy.
I'm Scott, I'm a workaholic.
Hi, Scott.
Did you want me to tell them?
Yeah. Tell about yourself so people get to know you.
Okay. I was born in Duluth, actually Hibbing, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. After Bob Dylan, before Kevin McHale. My full name is James Scott Ferris. I don't know why my parents named me that. It's not a family name, and I go by my middle name. So I was raised in Duluth, went to school in Minneapolis, worked there, and came out to Portland in 1980. Been here ever since.
And how long have you been?
In active recovery, about 19 years, in Workaholics Anonymous, only about a year. Thank you.
Thanks.
I'm
Gilda.
Hi, Gilda.
I'm Doug. I'm a workaharic.
Hi, Doug.
Hi, Harry.
My name is Donna. I'm a workaholic.
Hi, Donna.
I'm Gordon. I'm a workaholic.
Hi, Gordon.
I'm Harold, workaholic.
Hi, Harold.
I'm Louisa, workaholic, and I also was not here this morning. I was born into an alcoholic family. I was one of five children, and I've been in recovery for, Al-Anon was my first program. That was 18 years ago. I started going to WA meetings when I was in the Army Reserves and stationed in Washington, D.C. Oh, it must be 10, 12 years ago, there was a meeting at that time in Washington, which now is not there. I've recently returned to WA. I live in the Washington area now, and there is another meeting, not in D.C., but in Northern Virginia, near where I live. So I'm I've come back to WA after an absence. I'm multi-addicted across the board. I go to a lot of 12-step meetings, and I'm very grateful to be here.
Thanks, Lisa.
I'm Kathy, I'm a workaholic.
Hi, Kathy.
I'm Suzanne, I'm a workaholic.
Hi, Suzanne.
I'm Matthew, I'm a workaholic.
Hi, Matthew.
I will pass around, is that list of phone numbers, did everyone get to sign up earlier with the emails and all? Okay, tell you what. I do have a clipboard back here. So people that didn't get to sign the one that was going around before can sign this. Question is, do I have a pen? Yes. A 12-step pen. There you go.
1,000.
This is voluntary.
People put their phone numbers in their emails, I think.
Phone, email, and where you're from. Name, phone, where you're from.
So I think you can specify if it's just one available to people that are here, or whether you want to have it go as part of the organization's larger database.
I didn't see that on the last one.
The last one was just, I think, was just for here, though.
Yeah.
That was for the...
Maybe we should put a little asterisk. If you don't want to be in the public domain, put a little asterisk at the front. And at the bottom, we'll put, these people don't want to be in the public domain. How about that?
Does that mean that when newcomers or people in your area...
They wouldn't be able to get in touch with you. They'd have to contact somebody else.
Okay. But it wouldn't be posted on the internet either way. So
right.
Okay.
Because my husband says once you're on the internet, it doesn't matter, you're on there forever, so.
I don't think there's going to be any posting. The intention is not to post anything on the internet with any of these. I think there's just an email, an email message, which I suppose someone could decode or something. But basically, I think it's just going to be sent through an email.
Up to other members, generally.
To people who attend this conference.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And also it helps with the database. They're trying to keep a database, to watch at the world service level to watch how we grow. Okay. Okay, we had a lot of announcements before. Does anybody have another announcement? I will say that I did bring a box of Ann Wilson Shave reprints, which I need to get a cup for so people can put a dollar in the cup, and the dollars will go to World Service, the World Service office. I bought these. They were offered to World Service, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago from some publishing company. And they touch on workaholism and compulsivity issues. Quite good. A lot of information. Okay. We get to choose what we want to read. So. I guess we generally always read the 12 steps. Alice, can I get you to do that?
Sure. 12 steps of workaholics anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over work, that our lives have become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made the decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wounds. 6, became entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. 8, in the midst of all persons we have harmed, and continue to make amends to them all. 9, may direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when you do so we can keep them alive. Is too sleepy. 10. Continue to take personal inventories. Remember wrong they did it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, try to carry this message to workaholics and practice these principles in all our kids.
Thank you. I see that we have a whole lot of choices here. This morning, they didn't read How Recovery Happens, did they? Do you remember?
No, they didn't.
That sounds like a really interesting thing. Gilda, would you like to? Gilda. I'm looking at another Sandy and calling her Gilda. Sorry.
I wanted to read, so mine was right in tune. This is a new one. How Recovery Happens. We compulsive workers have found that no amount of willpower or self-determination can make us stick to a sensible program of work for any permanent or lasting length of time. We have found that self-reliance failed us. Self-reliance is good as far as it goes, but it doesn't go far enough. Some of us once had self-confidence, but it didn't solve our work problem or any other problem fully. We have felt a need and have been seeking an answer to our dilemma. We have realized that our work obsession is only the outward manifestation of our inner emotional turmoil and our essential spiritual disconnection. We who are recovering from the destructive consequences of work addiction understand, as perhaps few others can, the fear, depression, anxiety, and loneliness of being a workaholic. We are learning that the praise we get from others, our desire to get lost in our frantic behavior, and our sixth sense of needing to avoid or accomplish goals are all processes we use to escape the reality that we cannot completely control our life or our experience. We are learning that we can never get enough praise, money, or get enough accomplished to truly feel good about ourselves. That workaholism is a disease, and like all other addictive diseases, it is progressive and fatal if not arrested. We are also learning that recovery is possible. We learn to notice and identify our bottom line behavior. Unlike most chemical addictions, work addiction does not allow us to simply stop working and still survive. With higher powers assistance, by defining our personal bottom line behaviors, we can begin to notice when we are actively using work, and we can stop and pray or call a fellow recovering addict for support. We experience the healing of the Workaholics Anonymous program. Our stories share what we were like before recovery, how we got into recovery, and what we are like now. We hope you decide you want to have what we have and are willing to join us at meetings, reading our literature, and practicing our steps of recovery. We now know that we deal with an obsession, cunning and powerful. Without help, it is destined to overwhelm us, but we have come to rely on a power greater than ourselves. We have found that half efforts slowed our progress. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program for recovery. And then I guess the steps.
We read the steps already, so.
Lash. You looking at me?
Yes.
Gordon.
Right, Gordon.
Thank you, Gordon.
Gordon. Would you like to start the tools? I thought maybe if each of us read two.
That'd be good. And then pass.
What? Well, we could do that. Before you start, let me just, we're going to be spontaneous here. When I was asked to do this, like, 13 minutes ago, Marna said that everybody seemed hot on procrastination, so we could still work on that, or, this isn't that funny, work on that. Or we can do, or add to it, spontaneity, creativity, and
flexibility.
So, and Alice just said, as we read the tools, if we wanted to make a comment about the tools and perhaps how they affect our behavior.
It can get long sometimes, like a whole meeting's worth, but I'd rather talk about procrastination.
Well, we could keep it to 1 minute. Try to keep it to 1 minute, your comments on the tools, how they affect you, if you want to. Otherwise, just read it in passing.
Okay.
WA Tools of Recovery. Listen, we set aside time each day for prayer and meditation. Before accepting any commitments, we ask our higher power and WA friends for guidance. Prioritize it. We decide which are the most important things. We just got bifocals and we're used to this. To do first. Sometimes that will mean doing nothing. We strive to stay flexible to events. Reorganizing our priorities as needed. We view interruptions and accidents as opportunities for growth. I'd like to comment briefly on listening. I went on a spiritual retreat in June. One of the things they concentrated on was setting aside a time each day for prayer. And I said, man, that's WA says to do that. I'm not doing it. So every morning after I wake up, I go out immediately. There's a creek in front of my house. I live in the city. It's there. It's a bench. I don't take a watch. I don't take a cell phone. I just go out and read or meditate until I feel that it's time to go in. And it really helped us to slow me down before the day starts.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for that.
It doesn't matter.
I'd like to add to that. One of the very first things that started to work for me was, strangely enough, connected a little bit to procrastination. But I would wake up in the morning. I used to wake up in the morning running, because I had already planned the night before what I was going to do, and I just out of there. But the thing I started doing was, in the morning, I would sit there and think about, well, what is it I have to do? And can I put that off for another day? Would it make any difference? In almost every case, I could put off all of it. It didn't make any difference whether I did it today or tomorrow, or really, in a way, never. And what that did was it slowed me down, and it put me in a position of making a choice rather than just barging ahead, charging ahead, and not making any choices and being compulsive. Thanks.
Thank you. Substituting. We do not add a new activity without eliminating from our schedule one that demands equivalent time and energy. Under scheduling, we allow more time than we think we need for a task or trip, allowing a comfortable margin to accommodate the unexpected.
Playing. We schedule time for play, refusing to let ourselves work nonstop. We do not make our play into a work project. And concentrating, we do try to do one thing at a time. I think I'll focus on the tool of playing. As has been mentioned before, it's very difficult for me to do that because I own my own business and I work from a home office. So it's very easy to just work from the moment I get up, go sit in front of the computer until I drop to sleep, you know, in front of my computer. But my husband and I, we do enjoy playing a type of board game, railroad board games. But unfortunately, I would say that we make work out of it. I mean, I just leave my obsession of the computer and transfer it, and I get into the game, and then I get all, you know, stressed about succeeding in the game, you know, as if it matters. And so I can't say that I'm actually relaxed doing that either. So.
I'm Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Pacing. We work at a comfortable pace and rest before we get tired. To remind ourselves, we check our level of energy before proceeding to our next activity. We do not get wound up in our work, so we don't have to unwind. Relaxing. We do not yield to pressure from others or attempt to pressure others. We remain alert to the people and situations that trigger feelings of pressure in us. We become aware of our own actions, words, body sensations, and feelings that tell us we are responding with pressure. When we feel energy building up, we stop, we reconnect with our higher power and others around us. Well, that piece, the relaxing piece, I guess drums up in me a realization that when I get home from my daytime work, I come home to two school-age kids and homework begins, and I'm really clear that there are times when I just want that stuff to be done. I don't really care if they're learning it. I want it to just be done. And so theoretically we can get on to something more fun. But I think that the applying of pressure is something that I probably do in that scenario pretty often. And so it's, I guess, helpful for me to be thinking about this part that says, we do not yield to pressure from others or attempt to pressure others.
Accepting. We accept the outcomes of our endeavors, whatever the results, whatever the timing. We know that impatience, rushing, and insisting on perfect results only slow down our recovery. We are gentle with our efforts, knowing that our new way of living requires much practice. Just sitting here, I was mindful of my impatience. And I wanted to get up and organize the whole thing. Hi, this is my first WA meeting, you know? Yeah, so I just had to let go and forgive myself for that and come back and just really open my heart.
Asking, we admit our weaknesses and mistakes. We realize we don't have to do everything ourselves, and we ask our higher power and others for help. Meetings. We attend WA meetings to learn how the fellowship works and to share our experience, strength, and hope with each other. I'm Matthew. I'm a workaholic. I'd like to go back to the scheduling issue to a lot more time than I think we need for task or trip. I came out here a 4,000 mile route by way of San Francisco, and I came a day and a half early to make sure that either the airline or I would cause me to be late to the meeting. And I just about was late to the meeting. I barely got here in time for the end of the goodies yesterday, and you know, time for a meal. Because I added a tourism routine in, on Thursday after I arrived, and Friday. So had a great tourism experience, but this is a perfect example of what I think of as my serial workaholism. I'm retired, so it's very easy for me to see where I am still being workaholic with a whole new stage to perform on. And I have filled up my life with this, that, and the other thing, more than I can possibly handle. Enter stage right procrastination. And my serial workaholism is matched by my serial procrastination. And I mean, I'd like to, maybe I will write a white paper on procrastination from the point of view of a workaholic. Because I procrastinate sometimes on beginning things and sometimes on finishing things. And I have, one of the things I'm trying to do, following the tool, is to not start something unless I will finish it. And that leads me to procrastinate starting things. And that can either be viewed as good or unhealthy. And I do it both ways. Item to item. I also am a stasher. I stash not bottles of booze, but work projects. And I have a house, a garage, a car, and a head full of stash. And I've begun to clear some of it out. Some of it literally goes to the recycle center, and some of it goes to the dumpster up there. And I've tried to, the trouble is at my recycle center in a small town, they have a boutique. The Boy Scouts built this boutique, and people put things in there that they're through with, but, you know, have useful life. And aside from a lot of plastic junk toys, there are books. There are complete sets of encyclopedias. You could start a library in 6 months with the books that are put there to be thrown away. So people are in there, me included, you know, picking out books. I've got two big piles of books in my den of things I want to get to read because I thought I'd like to read them someday, but I can't quite get to it yet. But I'm not workaholic much, just a little. Thank you.
I'm Sandy, workaholic. Telephoning. We use the telephone to stay in contact with members of the fellowship between meetings. We communicate with our WA friends before and after a critical task. Balancing. We balance our involvement in work with our efforts to develop personal relationships, spiritual growth, creativity, and playful attitudes. This used to be called something else. I think it used to be called abstinence plan. And I used to email a sponsor what I was going to do to develop personal relationships that day. What was I going to do for my own spiritual growth? What was I going to do that was creative? And what was I going to do that was playful? This is a little different than how we used to say it, but that actually did help me quite a bit, that emailing that to somebody else, just so I had a promise of doing it. I also wanted to address underscheduling. That is such a big issue in my life, and when I came to this program and heard that, it's one of the reasons that I came back. I don't have 10 minutes free to sew on a button. It drives me crazy. I am so overscheduled, and there's an immaturity around time that accompanies that. I'm here to grow.
Thank you. Serving. We readily extend help to other workaholics, knowing that assistance to others adds to the quality of our own recovery. Living in the now, realize where we are, where our higher power wants us to be. In the here and now, we try to live each moment with serenity, joy, and gratitude. I've had a real struggle with serving, that I keep wanting to volunteer with something for WSO, and my sponsor usually reminds me, what are you going to give up? You're having major problems just with ordinary things in your own life. And I've found that I've tried to take a major role in the internet group to the point that because I have very much addictive qualities towards the internet, that I have phased out of that more and more. Living in the now is something I've always had problems with and still have problems with. Serenity, joy, and gratitude. Well, thought I'd talk about another interesting incident related to the tools. Had a doctor's appointment about a year and a half ago, and it was across town in rush hour, so I said, okay, well, I'll leave at 8 for an 9 o'clock appointment, and an hour ought to be enough. So I'm driving across town, and I'm driving through a construction area, eating scrambled eggs, and listening to a funny speaker tape. So what do? I get in an accident. And so I get pulled over, exchange information with the other driver, and get to my doctor's appointment on time. So I underscheduled, but I did not concentrate, and it worked out okay.
That's mysterious. Okay. It says the format of this meeting is blank. And this is where I'm going to offer you the chance to continue speaking if you so desire about procrastination, because that was a very interesting, and I think people were really turned on by it. But the other one with all the dots out there is the spontaneity, creativity, and flexibility. So if you choose, you can talk about one of those. The floor is open. Let me just say, we ask that we avoid crosstalk. Avoiding crosstalk means that when we speak, we address the meeting as a whole. We speak in the first person and do not give advice. Please do not share again until everyone who wishes to has had an opportunity to share. We keep the 12th tradition of anonymity in mind, placing principles before personalities. The meeting is now open for sharing. So, have at it.
Thanks, Danny.
Thanks, Danny.
Thanks.
Hi, I'm Gordon. I'm a workaholic.
Hi, Gordon.
During the general meeting this morning, I wrote down two things. One is what we were all told when we were children: don't put off until tomorrow what you can do today. And I always hated that, because always, you know, some older person, you know, wagging a finger at me and telling me that. And the other thing was something I read as an adult by Gandhi, and I think I'm quoting this correctly: live each day as if you were to die tomorrow. And that's kind of a scary thought, considering what I told you in the general meeting, because when they brought me back from the hospital to my home, the first thing I said was, when can I start working again? And they looked around my house with all the clutter of the paper, and they said, you've got a lot to do here before we're going to let you go back to work. Because they had to certify me able to work, to resume work. And it actually, from when I got home, and my insurance was paying for this, when I got home in October, I was not certified to go back to work until December, after I'd gone through a number of tests of making sure I was physically recovered, as well as adjusting to things like, can you operate the microwave without blowing the kitchen up? Can you balance a checkbook without a calculator? And anyway, so what that reminded me of was one of the things I read, and I'm not sure, maybe in the Don't Sweat the Small Stuff book that I read in our meeting once, which is, your in basket will always be full, and it will be full on the day you die. But I think for me, procrastination, I was talking to someone after the meeting about this, it's something that one of the tools can really help you with, and that tool is the prioritizing. And it occurred to me that you not need to only prioritize the task you've already accepted, you need to prioritize the task that you are considering accepting. And that goes hand in hand with substitute. That you consider very carefully before you take on something else, that you've eliminated something of equal time and effort in your schedule. And so the prioritizing works with accepting new things at, in addition to things you already got. My tendency is to take on so much work that when crunch time comes, I have to prioritize things I've already committed to. And the key is to prioritize before you make the commitment. And as I'm making choices, okay, what is really important for me to do today with deadlines and so forth? A friend of mine who's going through a lot of other issues often talks to me about her what-sits. She says, the what-sits were the monsters in the closet when I was growing up. And I need to learn to face the monsters in my closet, open that closet door, and sometimes they're not even there, or they're not as bad as they seem. I found that with my tasks that I add, that sometimes my procrastination is because I have this fear, and this was talked about in the group this morning, this fear of getting to that thing because something bad is going to be happening. I'm going to open that door, and there's going to be a what's-it in the closet. And I've learned recently that one of the ways that I can conquer procrastination is to face those fears. And sometimes there really is a monster in the closet that, you know, is in terms of something, if you miss this deadline, there are consequences, but sometimes it's not as bad as you thought. And I think fear keeps us from a lot of things. And it keeps me from going, prioritizing, keeps me from substituting. Fear of not having work keeps me hoarding. All of these things, these signposts, work together. But the tools can work together too. They're not individual tools that we apply as we need them, but I think the tools work hand in hand. You know, I've been going 7 years, and this morning, listening to the breakfast table, the people talk in the general meeting this morning, all of a sudden there's these epiphanies with all these things that have been in front of my face all along, and the problem is I just procrastinated in looking at them in the light of day. And so that's what I have for this morning on the Sunday.
Thank you. I'm Gilda. I'm probably with Paul.
Hi, Gilda.
I was lying in bed last night thinking about how really, truly, fundamentally, this is a spiritual path. This work is, you know, the way that we have chosen to come to it. But it's just really, my thought was, this program is a spiritual path. I mean, it's right up there, whatever. I'm not that good at the steps yet, but right there at the top. And in terms of procrastinating, whatever, I was really ripe for the program when I started coming. You know, it's like fertile ground, drop the seeds, and first thing I did was made myself the rule that I will not talk on the cell phone while the car is moving. But anyway, the thing that I have started, the program has given me, the first thing that fell into my ears really loud, like a clang, was we rest before we get tired. And I thought, you know, I don't even rest when I am tired. I mean, what is this all about? This doesn't make any sense. But it sounded real good. So, you know, so Wednesday was my day off, this last Wednesday, and I spent the entire day working. But I forced myself, because of the program, and this is my strength and hope and recovery from the program, I forced myself to sit down outside, beautiful sunny day, beautiful garden. You know, I worked so hard to make this garden delightful, so I sat myself down in this very comfortable chair that I spent all kinds of effort procuring, you know. I sat in it, and I was in the garden for 10 minutes. And when I do that, when I get myself out there, then the creativity, the spontaneity, the ideas come in. You know, an idea will come in. So that I was just pushing away by being so busy. And so I think really, for me, the fear, what I'm doing really with running around so much is running away from God. You know, running away from the spiritual path that really that is all that we ever have, you know, all that life is about. And I'm just really busy running as fast as I can. And it's
not really doing any good because I'm going to die anyway and suffer anyway and all that. And so there's something very scary, I think, for me about entering the spiritual path. The scary thing for me is saying, well, you know, I want to jump on the spiritual path. I'm not just going to live for whatever I am living for now, a whole lot of things that probably don't amount to hill of beans, neurotic and fear and whatever, but I really want to live on a spiritual path. And that's my fear, I think. And anyway, so the great gift has been having a concept of just having the moment and letting things come, which can change my life immediately and profoundly. I also want to mention my gratitude to Mother Nature, who gives us this beauty, and I want to acknowledge that it is healing to be in Mother Nature, to be in her space, and to allow ourselves to experience her. And she can give us growth, she can give us ideas, she can give us healing. And coming away from the city into her, an area where she is more powerful than I'm used to in my city home, is very strengthening and provides for healing.
Thanks. My name is Doug. I'm a workaholic.
Hi, Doug.
It's interesting, procrastination. I vacillate between procrastination and perfectionism, these two extremes, and that. And I was thinking about how I can really just go from, okay, it's like, okay, yeah, I haven't done anything in a while. It can go either way, but let's start it like I procrastinated. So then I can prioritize, because like I laugh at prioritizing. Yeah, I've done that before. But, you know, I mean, it's like, it's no problem. And it is no problem. But I just experience the other extreme, which is perfectionism. Okay, then I'm really driven to do all these various tasks. Okay, I can prioritize, and then I have more things to do and more things to do. So that's where... it's having a higher power that kind of guides me, because if it's my will, I'm either not going to do anything or I'm going to do everything, and I'll do it, you know, the way that I want to do it. And so that doesn't make for a very healthy, balanced life. So anyway, I got the book, and I thought I'd look for the literature here. Unfortunately, it's fairly short on procrastination. It says progress, not perfection, and not procrastination. I thought I'd just read that and I'll shut up, because probably anything I'll say on procrastination will just perpetuate the disease. So anyway, many of us in Workaholics Anonymous struggle with perfectionism and procrastination. In our disease, untreated, we have painful, perfectionistic, and procrastinating behaviors. We cannot accept our own imperfections or those of others. We put excessive demands on others and ourselves. Our judgments are severe. We judge things either good or bad, not complex and gray. Our critic is an incessant voice that we believe as the truth. It fuels our poor self-esteem. Because our minds are so critical, we respond with devastation to critical feedback. Our drive to high performance is essential to antidote our constant diet of critical self-messages. We suffer from intense shame if we do not have all the answers, or our work is regarded as lacking. We sometimes practice shame avoidance by blaming others. Ouch. We can be totally caught up in ourselves, obsessed with getting everyone's approval and being the center of all processes. We believe another's behavior reflects on us. We cannot stop a project to take care of ourselves with regular meals, sleep, and exercise. We have trouble shifting gears. Starting can be as hard as stopping. We lose track of our most important priorities, getting lost in the details. We are plagued with the consequences of dishonesty. We wish to cover up our imperfections. We avoid work. If we do not start or finish projects, they will never have to meet our perfect standards. We swing from an inadequate self-image to a compulsive drive for achievement of an impossible ideal. We cannot be average like everyone else. Average is not enough. As we begin to assimilate the Workaholics Anonymous program of recovery, we find the grip of perfectionism and and procrastination loosening. We admit we are powerless over this outdated method of coping with life. We come to believe in a power greater than ourselves, and we make a decision to turn our will and our lives, our will over to the higher power of, or God of our understanding. With the help of our WA group or sponsor, we continue to engage ourselves in the steps. We come to know the root causes that drive our perfectionism and procrastination. Without effort, we find ourselves free at last to see life as progress and a process of maintaining a spiritual connection that guides us beyond our old ideals. Looking back, our lives in recovery are beyond our wildest dreams.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks,
Dan. Thanks, Dan. I'm
Sandy,
and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi,
Sandy. I was busy listening to everybody share and thinking I can't share because I can't be as profound as all of you. So I thought, well, maybe I better share anyway. I've just been to two regular meetings so far, and the two meetings that we've had here. I guess it's on my fifth meeting now. Count that, but. With the tools and the procrastination, I was taught that you can't play until your work is done. I always leave something on the table so that I can't play. And if one of the things I've noticed that I do is that if I don't go to work, and I have an opportunity to play, I'll stay home and work myself into a frenzy and end up sitting in the middle of my bed watching television because I haven't earned the right to go out and play because I still have work to do. So I deny myself pleasure, and that's one of the reasons I came, because I thought, you know I used to know how to have fun, and I know I used to know how to play, but I have lost I've lost that knowledge, and I want to reclaim it. And when it talks about underscheduling, this is me in reverse. It says we allow more time than we think we need for a task or trip. I'm assuming that's what behavior we were supposed to have, but my behavior is I plan. You know, if I have to be there at 5, I leave an hour ahead of time so I can be there a half an hour early. Otherwise, I think I'm late. You know, I'm always the first one at a party, so I have to help the hostess. And I'm not sure whether it's the thing about being afraid of being left out, or so that's going to be an interesting discovery. But if I'm late to an appointment, if I'm an appointment 10 minutes early, I think I'm late. You know, and what I really am possibly is intruding in the person who I'm calling on because they're thinking I'm going to be there at one time and I'm there early. And I've heard it said that people who come to meetings late are looking for attention. So I'm thinking the reverse of that might be true too, that because I come early and feel like I'm demanding people to be ready to meet with me 5 minutes early, that maybe I'm looking for attention as well. In this part where it says we do, where we pace, it says we rest before we get tired. It's like, I'm already tired. So how do I know when I'm supposed to stop and rest? I've heard that in relation to recovery, it says by the time you've made your slip, it's already too late to be proactive mm-hmm. to your recovery, because I've been in such denial up to the point where I'm past the point of needing to stop. And I don't recognize it early enough, but I'm doing better. I'm beginning to recognize it. And recognition, I think, is a very important part of any recovery program, that we recognize where we are so that we can change the behavior. That's all I want to share. Thanks.
Thanks, Sandy.
I'm workaholic.
Hi, Sandy.
I wanted to add to the share that I had this morning, and I forgot something, and that is that if I don't play, then I am in a victim place. And I get, you know, into the poor me's. And that's why, you know, I spoke about the overeating or needing a drink or what these, all these coping mechanisms. That's one of the reasons that I have to be so careful about making sure that I play. Because I was a victim. I was a victim when I was a kid. And in order to change that, I have to pay attention to scheduling some time for free spontaneity and so on. Now, this is a very hard concept because there's two sides to the issue. While it's good to be in, as a workaholic, it's good to be spontaneous and flexible and that kind of thing. It's also you can be vague and like for instance, I like to not pay attention to time. So I look at the clock, it's 2 o'clock, I go away, I do 2 hours of task, I come back, I think it's going to say 2:10. It says 4:10. And I am in total shock that much time has passed. Time is an area where I cannot be spontaneous. You know, I need more planning. You know, we all have to know where we need to grow and where we need that balance. And I need more balance in the area of not working so much, but I also need to more structure in the area of time so that I pay attention to time. And I cannot allow myself to be spontaneous about time because it's I get into being vague and that brings on more of my compulsive behavior. Allows me to chuck in a few more jobs.
Thanks.
I'd like to say something that sort of to me in my mind knits together some things that different people have said.
Hi, here.
And what's going through my mind is procrastination. And I said something about incorporating procrastination creatively in my life, but there's another side to it. And it's, in a sense, there's a minefield. And there's either danger or fear or something else there, and we're avoiding it. And so we procrastinate in order to avoid getting close to the danger or the fear. And personally, I realize that for me, what it is there is in me what I think of as a deep well of sadness, and it's what I avoid or have been avoiding. I do it much less now, and this has to do with feeling unwanted as a child, being an ADD sort of kid and in the way and being pushed and corrected too much, a real tragedy involving death of my younger brother, and never being able to mourn that, no grieving process at all, get no support on it from my parents or any other person, and other things. And for me, it's almost like fear. It feels like looking into a bottomless pit. And I remember meeting a woman one time who told me that terrible tragedy had occurred to her on her marriage night when she was in her early 20s. Her husband was killed by a robber. And she said that for years she never cried. And she realized finally she didn't cry because she was afraid she could never stop. But she would then cry forever. And so that's an exaggeration of the way I feel. I don't feel that way. But I recognize that I skirt away from falling into that pit. And I can imagine people avoiding hate, anger, fear of a sense of self-worth, all these kinds of things is giving us this strange path where we're procrastinating, we're avoiding, and that's what I think procrastination is avoiding. So anyway, that's what I have to say.
Thanks, Harold.
My name is Harold, the workaholic.
Hi, Harold.
It would be really cool if the cover was simpler. But I sometimes have classified myself as a procrastinating codependent workaholic. To kind of give a fuller picture. But on the issue of, I've been retired for 7 years, fully involved in a volunteer activity that encompasses a couple of hundred communities around North America. And I spend about 4,000 minutes a month on long distance emails and everything. And I discovered that life would be simpler without the computer, but it would also be impossible to carry on certain kinds of activities. But the idea of procrastinating, I think what I will do, I once heard about many, many years ago when I was employed, about prioritizing, you know, the A's and the B's and the C's, with the A being the most important and the B and the C. And I find myself dealing with the lower priority because they're easy to do, and postponing the really issues that the main projects. And so I'll answer the email immediately, perhaps because that's easy to do, and then I'll put off the other, which I really need to get down and I need to focus some concentrated time on. So I'm trying to focus or to set hopefully increasingly healthy goals as to when a particular project needs to be done, and then taking care of the others. But my list is always longer than the day, and I haven't figured out still quite. And then I make different lists, you know. Then there's one here, and there's one over there, and there's one over there. So organization comes into it as well. And I'm not sure what the solution is, but I think coming back to WA again is going to be the right score for me right now. Thank you. Thanks.
My name is Fanya, I'm a workaholic.
Fanya.
Is there a topic?
It's actually kind of a continuation on the procrastination, but we can also address creativity, flexibility, and spontaneity.
Okay. I just wanted to speak about the lower levels of more things in procrastination. I also read a thing in the book in the anorexia chapter where it touches on that prioritizing business where we prioritize, this is what I do, I prioritize and then I go for the low priority things because I can't face the high priority things. I've been prioritizing for so long that they're very scary. And I can't force myself. Sometimes I do if it's a real emergency, like paying a bill or something. But it's very painful. I feel like I can't get myself to do the high priority things, the things that I should do. And so I'm back to the steps. There's only the steps are going to save me and higher power because I can't will myself to do the right thing. So I have to admit that I'm powerless. And I have to ask for help. I have to pray for help over a long period of time. And when this works well, it doesn't always work, but when it works well, the emotions around that I've been avoiding reveal themselves to me. And I get to work through those before I act, before or maybe during facing the high priority things. And I really have to recommend the steps because it's so much like alcoholism or any addiction. I can't will myself. I know I can see myself do. The more I come to program, the more I see myself doing the bad behavior, and I can't. But I can't stop. I can't stop. I mean, the best I've done is in terms of stopping is. In setting these time limits on certain kinds of work. You know, I'll allow myself this amount of time, but then when it gets past bedtime and when it gets past eating time, I will. And sometimes go over half an hour, but I don't go over go over hours and hours. And so I allowed myself that. I've also allowed myself a certain amount of binge working because I realize that certain things can only get done in a chunk, or certain kinds of computer stuff, certain kinds of technical stuff, or things that are just messy, are best done all at once. And so if I allow myself to binge on work, I try to remind myself that I have to rest. So I can't go from binge thing to binge thing to binge thing. I have to, if I put in a big effort, which I sometimes have to do to meet a deadline or just because of the nature of the work, I want to become aware of giving myself time to rest afterwards or meditate or do repair, whatever it is I need to repair. Sometimes it's yoga or something. Some spiritual thing relieved with the binging. So I guess I'm not totally terrible. The program. I just find new things to work on, new things that I need to work on, which I feel like I'm powerless over. And then I have to really let go, really become entirely ready. In other words, become totally sick of myself for doing it, and really ask for help and ask to have it be removed. And one more thing about the steps. Step nine, I often convert that into reading. Instead of, because I tend to be aware of not hurting people, so there's very few things I have to make amends for in terms of hurting people. But the things I avoid, I change it to became willing, or made a list of all things I've been avoiding and became willing to face them all. Mm-hmm. It involves people, but sometimes it's just an activity.
Would you repeat that again? That was
yes. Let's see. That's the eighth step, right? Made a list of all things I've been avoiding, and became willing to face them all.
Mm-hmm. Inspired.
I haven't done it, but
good idea.
I've been thinking about it. I've thought about it in that way. If I can face the things I've been avoiding, then I'm doing another step.
It is very close to lunch, and so we can continue the conversation at lunch. Is there anybody that feels like they just have a burning desire they're never going to make it to lunch? And they have to share right now.
My name is For me, as a procrastinator, part of the magic of the fellowship is that all I have to do is go every week, and we work on and play with the tools, and we have the tools. And I found that as I avoided my big red letter items year after year after year, that every week I get calmed down so much in that meeting that I actually think and feel one piece of it. I found that really, really powerful antidote for that procrastination.
Thanks, Jim.
Donna?
My name is Donna, I'm a workaholic.
Hey, Donna.
When I was talking about procrastination before, one thing I forgot, I told you already that there's one person I call for my fun and sign. But another tool with the telephone, I call somebody mostly every day, or I intend to call her every day, and I tell her she's my procrastination person. She actually does prayer and procrastination. So I just report to her and I tell her, yeah, great day. And for procrastination today, I'm going to. And then I tell you to make that phone call, make that doctor's appointment, whatever it is. So on a daily basis, I make a little chip away at one little thing. And the other thing I wanted to share is on the flexibility part. I really feel like I'm making progress. I feel progress with the flexibility because being a controlling person that I am, you know, having the plan, which helps the minute the plan goes awry. Like, for example, my purse is in Portland. So the car took off and left me there with all my luggage and all my stuff. And it didn't take me long to figure out when I went for my purse to pay the $12 for the shuttle that there was no purse. So, but anyway, the two things that really helped me is I say to myself, during the sick feeling, I say, well, everything's in divine order, which I'm sure you've all heard. Anyway, it helps me. Everything's in divine order and nothing happens by mistake, even though I could not see any reason for this, any good parts to this yet. it really calms me down. And I have much better, I have a lot more serenity, and it's cropping up in my head much more often now. When stuff doesn't go quite my way, whether it's a traffic light, all those little things. So I feel more serene. That's it, more flexible.
Thanks. Matt, you raise your hand.
Yeah, Matt, I'm really cranked on this procrastination thing. One of my recent awarenesses is that part of my procrastination is due to being swamped. I've got so much stash, I can't prioritize which I'm going to do now, which I'm going to do next. You know, when I run out of clean skivvies, I'll do the laundry. But that's not the thing that ought to get done most. That just has to be done. Swamping is an issue I have to deal with because I've created this overload that I'm bewildered about what to do next. Where to begin? Thank you.
I mean, I have to throw something in on that, which is, just crossed my mind that I do swamping too and stashing, and that concept, and I think it's fear of death. Just crossed my mind that it's fear of death. Mm-hmm. Because if I have a lot to do, really I won't die yet. Mm-hmm. I just can't because it's not done. I think I probably believe that on some level.
It's like a protection.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Any last burning desires? We're going to make it to lunch now. Can somebody start passing that basket around while I read this? Our meeting is now complete.
That's 18 times a day.
If you didn't get an opportunity to share, please talk at lunch with someone. By our seventh tradition, we are self-supporting, declining outside contributions. I'll pass the basket. If this is your first meeting, please don't contribute. The money we collect goes to pay for rent and literature and to support our outreach to other workaholics. Does somebody have the promises of the program just laying right in? Oh, right at the end. Right. Fantastic. How about you?
Me?
Yes.
The promises of Workaholics Anonymous. If we are completely honest about ourselves and together we use the 12 steps of Workaholics Anonymous and the tools of WA in our lives, we will soon begin to receive these gifts of sanity and balance. One, we are not obsessed by work or plagued by work aversion. Two, adrenaline seeking loses its hold on us. Excessive worry and anxiety become a thing of the past. Three, we have a daily plan of action that faces the reality of time, priorities, health, and relationships. Fears that there won't be enough time, money, or love leave us. We learn to play and have fun together. We repair broken relationships and form new ones. Health and self-nurturance return. Self-seeking and ego inflation do not drive our decisions. We lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in and compassion for our partners, families, co-workers, and friends. We experience how well the tools of the program help us handle problems which used to confuse and defeat us. We ask for help and reach out to help others. We find that our higher power helps us in a way self-reliance never could. Are these extravagant promises?
We think not.
They are already happening in the lives of many among us. For those of you who are new to our fellowship, there are no problems that you have experienced that are not common to us. We welcome you with the deepest respect. When we apply this program with honesty and compassion, a place of serenity grows in us one day at a time.
Anyone who read one of these papers, if you still have it, would you pass it back to me? And then, in order to preserve each member's anonymity, we ask that all you see here and all you hear here stay here. The opinions expressed are personal ones. Please take what you like and leave the rest. Thanks everybody for sharing and for reading the passages that we read. In closing, we are thankful to have this opportunity to grow in respect for ourselves and to learn a healthy attitude towards our work. No matter how deeply rooted and desperate our workaholism, no matter how hopeless our problems seem, we start from where we are. By living the program one day at a time, we begin to experience the freedom and happiness it offers. As we grow closer to our higher power, we find we have become transformed. We have what we always sought, love and peace of mind. What seems impossible is now a reality. If we continue to take action on our program one step at a time, we find life becoming richer and more joyful. No one has said the Unity Prayer here. Do you know the Unity Prayer? Do people know this?
No.
Well, we better stick with the Serenity Prayer then. Or unless you want me to just recite it.
Say it.
Let's hold hands then. Oh, and did everyone get the basket?
Yeah.
Okay, just looking after World Service. I put my hand in yours, and together we can do what we could never do alone. No longer is there a sense of hopelessness. No longer must we each depend upon our own unsteady willpower. We're all together now, reaching out our hands for a power and strength greater than our own. And as we join hands, We find love and understanding beyond our wildest dreams. Keep coming back. It's happening.
I don't know where it started, but I hear it's another post-up.
We see that at our meetings.
Oh, yeah, the large print version.
I was going to the moment of yes.